Welcome to the TKO from Lights Out Productions. From the website of 1320WILS.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason.
With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
How's it going, party people?
All right, today on the TKO, we're going to have three segments for you. In our first segment, we're going to go over the Strike Force event that just happened here yesterday, actually, and a little bit of UFC news and notes after that. In segment two, we're going to get to our UFC 126 recap, talk about some of the big fights that happened that night. And then in our third segment, we're going to preview the upcoming event, UFC 127, and some of the action that's going to be on that card. So, Brad, you want to kick us off here and talk about what happened at the Strike Force event?
Yeah, it was the start of the heavyweight tournament last night. Mm-hmm. Two fights taking place. The first one was Andrei Arlovsky taking on Karatanov, and kind of went how most people thought, Arlovsky getting knocked out in the first round. Yep. Should probably just go ahead and hang it up. You're just not looking that good
thinking
anymore,
so.
Buddy.
It's about time for the pit bull to pack it in, I think.
I mean, he had a good run, but the sport has kind of evolved. It's kind of passed him by. Mm-hmm. He's not that big.
No. For a heavyweight, he's kind of small.
Yeah, I mean, and it looked like a pro fighting an amateur, honestly, you know. So, he's talked about maybe going to boxing. Maybe he should think that more, a little bit more seriously.
The problem with boxing is he's still going to get punched in the face, you know? And that seems to be his big weakness,
He's been notorious, and even some fighters that we don't even consider top fighters these days have called him out on it, that you just put that one right on the chin, and he's out.
Yeah. So, but the thing about Karatanov was a lot of the announcers, the commentators, you know, were saying that he's actually very good, and not a lot of people know about him, you know, that he could be kind of a dark horse in this tournament.
Sort of flying under the radar.
Yeah, right? And if nothing else, it's going to expose him to the U.S. MMA fans that don't know him. You know, obviously, he's big in Russia. He's Russian, come on. So, you know, that would be a good thing for him. So, but I don't think anyone was surprised by this. The big news was the next fight, which was Fedor versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva, and it was stopped after the second round by the doctor because Fedor's left eye was completely swollen shut. And that is just all types of hilarious.
It really is.
Because Strikeforce put all their eggs in one basket with Fedor. They let him set up the tournament. Mm-hmm. M1 Global, his management company, is promoting the next three events with Strikeforce, and he's out of the tournament. Not only that, but in the interview after the fight, he says that he may retire. Icing on the cake, man. Icing on the cake.
I love to see you this excited.
Let me just say, I'm not a huge Fedor fan, if you couldn't tell. I think that people that would talk about him in the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world are crazy and on some type of crazy drug. To me, he's fought no one of really big name. Yes, his record is impressive. It's very impressive. Mm-hmm. But I could go out and fight 50, 13-year-olds, and I'm probably going to win every time. Does that mean I'm a good fighter? No. And that's kind of what I feel. Okay, obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was not facing Tom.
He was unproven, you know. When you fight in a company like Strikeforce, you're just by definition, you're not fighting the best in the world. You know, UFC tends to have the best in the world.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're going to say I'm the best heavyweight in the world, you need to fight those other heavyweights that are considered the best in the world. And he's not doing that.
If you look at his previous record, he's fought some guys who kind of have washed out of the UFC. I mean, a few fights ago, Tim Sylvia and Andrei Arlovsky, both UFC washouts.
Yep.
Who Dana White wouldn't take back.
No. Right. So they're back down in the minors. It's not like guys like Brett Rogers who possibly could move up.
Yeah. Right.
These are guys who are already up and coming back down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's just the way I felt about him. As far as a business standpoint, this makes Strikeforce look ridiculous and makes Dana White look like a genius, because UFC did offer a contract to Fedor, and M1 Global said, unless you let us into, you know, the UFC name and promote, you know, they want to be part of
the
UFC company. They're
like
and Dana White's like, no, you have a decent fighter. Yeah. Why would we? And so, you know, they made this big, oh, well, we're going to go to Strikeforce then. And Strikeforce bent over, you know, and let them do whatever they
gave him the deal that UFC wouldn't give him.
And now where are they? You know, they have a fighter who's out from the first fight on a three-fight contract, I believe, that he might not even fill now because he's talking about retiring. And they're promoting these next three events with them and getting money. I mean, I don't know how much promoting they're doing. I'm guessing it's not much. Basically, they just got their hands in Strikeforce's pocket for a fighter that didn't even pan out, you know? I mean, it's just wow, business people, come on, let's go to college or something.
Yeah, it seems like for Strikeforce, this was just a silly move. I mean, you see it now, and they put, like you said, all their eggs in that Fedor basket, and mm-hmm. now Fedor has lost two in a row, talking about retirement. And I mean, where do you go from here if you're Strikeforce? I mean,
I really don't know. And I mean, and here's another point. They let Fedor set up the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even try to hide it. Like, they were like, we let Fedor pick who we wanted to face first, mm-hmm. who we wanted to face second. And it's so lopsided now that the tournament has lost a lot of its appeal in a certain sense, is that the big fight, the big name fight,
yeah.
is going to be what happens next. I mean, there's going to be Werdum versus Alistair Overeem, you know, which I think is going to be a good fight.
Should be a good fight, yeah, but it's in the first round.
Yeah, and then after that, it's Bigfoot Silva versus Overeem. Is that, to me, if Overeem wins, that is,
yeah.
That to me, whoever, you know, wins this next fight and then fights on that side of the bracket, which would be the semifinals, that's the big fight for me. Whoever wins, I mean, that's not anything I really want to see.
Yeah. So the big thing in this tournament then is going to be who can come up as a dark horse. You know, the only interest it holds for me now is who can actually win it, because before you expected it to be Fedor, mm-hmm. you know, and now it's interesting because of who's going to win, not because Fedor could win.
Well,
you know?
the thing is, I think Alistair Overeem now is the favorite, which I kind of thought he was the favorite anyway, which something that I learned last night when watching the tournament is that this, whoever wins this tournament is not, they're not getting the title. They get a title shot at Overeem. So if Overeem wins,
he just gets it,
yeah. you know? So yeah, I think that he's kind of the leader now, not to say that he's definitely going to win, but I think he has the best shot now.
Yeah, and he's got his toughest fight up front. So it'll, you know, I mean, you'll have a pretty good idea. And the next round starts in April?
Yes, April.
Yeah, so I mean, you'll have a pretty good idea right around then if mm-hmm. if Overeem's got a good shot or not.
Yeah.
Moving on, we're going to talk about some UFC news. Sort of a big deal, actually. Rashad Evans has a knee injury now mm-hmm. and will not be able. He had a title shot coming up against Shogun Hua
uh-huh.
and will now not be able to do that because of the knee injury. So the first person they offered the fight to was Rampage Jackson.
Yeah.
Rampage Jackson turned down the title mm-hmm. shot, and they came out actually at the last UFC event, 126, after John Jones had his fight and defeated Ryan Bader. They offered John Jones the title shot, and he was extremely happy to take it.
Right.
So we will have John Jones versus Shogun Hua at some point about a month and a half down the
March,
road here.
Yeah.
And so that'll be for the light heavyweight title. What I really want to talk about is why Rampage Jackson would turn down a title defense or a title shot at this point in his career. I think Rampage really needs to take a step back and sort of think about if he wants to be a fighter at this point. I mean, I don't know how you get that call from Dana White. You know, you answer the phone, it's Dana White, and he says, would you like a title shot?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, no, I'm good.
The only thing that I could say in defense of Rampage Jackson is that if he didn't feel like he was ready for a title shot right now, you know, because maybe he thought, you know, I need to get this fight with Thiago Silva, you know, that would help me up my game a little bit more than maybe another quality win. And then, okay, maybe I actually have a shot at taking the title. I feel that if he was to take this title shot in March, he wouldn't have a chance. Yeah, I really don't think so. And I don't even think that Shogun Hua is that great of a champion.
Yeah.
I could probably name three or four people in the division I think could take him pretty convincingly, too. But I just think that Rampage Jackson, that can be the only thing I can think of that is why he didn't take it.
I mean, I can agree with you that I don't think Rampage would beat Shogun Hua right now.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, I don't think, you know, he's a 32-year-old fighter. Like, he's not a young guy who's learning things at this point. I don't mm-hmm. think he's going to progress to a level where he will be able to beat a title holder. You know, I think if you get a chance at this point in your career, 32 years old, for a title shot, you have to take it.
I think the only thing is that, you know, he's training with the Wolf Slayer in England, and that might be the only thing if he's thinking that he's learning things there that he didn't get here. Part of this, though, goes back to a fighter's mentality. You need to think, take it back to Muhammad Ali, you need to think that you are the greatest.
Yeah.
You can't go in being timid about, oh, well, I might lose or I might get knocked out. If you're going to be a fighter, fighter, be a fighter. You know what I'm saying? And that's what, even though I might see where he's coming from, I don't agree with it. If I was on his advisors, you know, his board of advisors, whatever, I would say, I think you need to take this fight.
Yeah, I think this is kind of career suicide for him, not taking a title shot.
And we saw when he took the A-Team movie before, fighting is not number one in his life, you know? And I think if you're going to be in the UFC, you're going to make a living doing this, you're going to make money. It has to be.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think he needs to sort of take a step back and reevaluate what he wants to do with his career.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for us here on segment one. Make sure you guys check us out on segment two. We're going to recap UFC 126, some of the action that happened there. So make sure you guys tune into segment two.